We're here on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top of the Amud, Amar Rav Papa. Just by way of introduction, the Mishnah at the beginning of Gittin, Hamevi get me Medinas Hayam li Eretz Yisrael, Tzorech Lomar b'Shas Mesiroso b'Fanei Nechtam b'Fanei Nechtam. They were Mesakin and Takona that when a Shliach brings a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it's necessary that the Shliach testify to the fact that he saw the Ksiva Saget, he saw the Chasima Saget, everything was done Lishma. And the reason for that is because outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're not so sure that there is a Bekiyus, there's a knowledge, an expertise in writing the get the proper way, Lishma. And therefore we need that extra testimony on the part of the Shliach. However, even though it says, maybe get me Medinas Hayom, Rav says in Masechta Gittin on Daf Vav that the status of Bavel is unique, and Bavel has the din of Eretz Yisrael. And a person who brings a get from Eretz Yisrael, or a person who gives a get from Bavel, in that case, the Shliach does not have to say b'fani nechtam, that just like in Eretz Yisrael, they are b'kiyam b'lishma, so too in Bavel, they are experts in Lishma. And now the Gemara wants to know, what are the bounds of Bavel as far as Havas Get is concerned, as far as the Shliach not having to testify B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, are the boundaries of Bavel defined in the same identical way as they are defined with regard to Yuchsin? Omer Rav Papa ki machlokes liyuchsin, kach machlokes le'inyin gittin. We had a machlokes earlier on Daf Ayin Aleph, between Rav, between Shmuel, between Rabbi Yochanan. We're talking about the bounds of Bavel, whether you're talking about the width or the length, north, south, east, and west. We had different shittas. Shmuel had a more extensive bounds for Bavel. Are those same shittos going to apply in regards to Gittin, with regard to the halacha of B'fani Nechtav, that the Shliach is exempt, he's exonerated from having to testify B'fani Nechtav in those bounds. And it'll be Rav L'shitaso, Shmuel L'shitaso, Rav Yochanan L'shitaso, everything will be identical. The halacha of Bavel is applicable both with regard to the halacha of Yuchsin, that those mishpachos in Bavel are considered miyuchasos. We don't have to be choshesh for an admixture of a posel, and so too the bekius of lishma, the bekius with regard to get written lishma in Bavel, is such that the shliach does not have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. It's all one Bavel. Rav Yosef Omar machlokes liyuchsin. The whole issue about the bounds of Eretz Yisrael in Yuchsin, according to Rav, according to Shmuel, according to Rav Yochanan, exactly how far we extend the boundaries of Bavel for establishing Mishpachos Miyuchasos, that issue is only with regard to Yuchsin. And there we have a debate and a controversy about the bounds of Bavel. Avol legitin divrei hakol ad arba tinyana de gishra. They all agree on the bounds of Bavel as far as Gittin is concerned, from Fani Nechtam, Fani Nechtam, and the sheet of Rav Yosef is to identify those bounds in terms of the what we call the Agam, those bodies of water that are in the north where there's a bridge, as we discussed in the past. Omar Rami Bar Chama Chavil, there's a place which is a sort of a district, a large district within Bavel called Chavil. It has many cities in it. And Rami says, Yama, you can call it the Yama Tchelta de Bavel, which translates into Hebrew as Kliel Tifarta Shel Bavel. It's the most beautiful part of Bavel in terms of the purity of Yuchsin. The word tchelta is miloshen tcheles, just like we find in tzitzis, the significance of tcheles, so too there's a special significance of muvcheret of the place called Chavil Yama. Chavil Yama is an area that has many cities in it, it's a district, And amongst the cities that we find within that area of Yamat Chelta is Shunya Veguvya. And Shuvya Veguvya are those cities within Yamat Chelta, which are Tchelta de Chavil Yama. They are in the best of the best, the creme de la creme, as far as Yuchsin is concerned, the Teferet of Chavil Yama. So Chavil Yama is the best, finest, purest district as far as Yuchsin within Bavel, and within Yama Tchelta, find yourself in Shunya Veguvya, Ravina Omar Af Tzitzori, adds a third city. These are cities which are impeccable, that the status of Yuchsin and the Kashrus is top, as we said before, the best of the best. Tanya Rami Hochi, we have this in a brice in the name of Hanan ben Pinchas Omer, Chavil Yama Tchilta the Bavel, Shunya Guvaya Vitzitzora Tchilta the Chavil Yama. Omer Av Popovoy Idna, in our days, it's not so. Why? I arve behu kusai, right? The kusim, which are an ancient branch of Jews that were accused of worshiping avodah zarah. It's not clear if they were originally Jews, if they were originally goyim that claimed to have converted to Judaism, but there was some sort of mixture of these non-Jews called kusim in these areas, and the Gemara rejects Rav Papa outright. Velohi. Issasahu deboy minayu. The Gemara has a pretty harsh accusation about what mistake Rav Papa made. There was a woman that a Kusi wanted to marry, and the Kusi wanted to marry one of the daughters of this district of Yamat Chelta, the Lo Yavule, and they rejected him because he was a Kusi. And he got very upset and indigent, so as a result of his anger, he declared that there were mishpachos in that area of Yamat Chilta that had intermarriage with Kusim. And this was all a false libel, that a rumor that he tried to spread. And Rav Papa heard about this rumor, and now Rav Papa is, in a sense, guilty of passing on this shame psul on these cities. And it's not true. There was never a Kusi that was allowed to marry into that area. The Gemara explains, "My Chavil Yama, where exactly is Chavil Yama located?" Omer Av Papa, Zo Pras Divursif. In other words, there's a city called Vursif, which is located on the banks of the river Prat of the Euphrates, and that's where the area of the district of Chavil Yama is located. Hahu Gavra, there's a story about a person who wanted to prove his yichus in order to marry a Jewish girl. D'omer lahu, and he told the Chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, he identified himself as Ana min Shot Meshot. I come from an area called Shot Meshot. Omar Rav Yitzchak Nafchal Raglo V'Omar, Rav Yitzchak Nafcha declared, Shot Meshot, where is it? Bein Nahoros Paras Vechidekel. And in that sense, it is located in Bavel, between the two great rivers of the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, and that is the area from which we establish as Miuchasos, the Mishpachos there are Miuchasos. And the Gemara says, Vechi Bein Hanahoros Omedes, my Havi, what's the big deal if it's located between these two great rivers? And Gemara answers, Omer Abaye, Omer Rav Choma Bar Ukva, Omer Rav Yosei Berebi Chanina, Bein Hanahoros Harei Kigola, just like Pumpadiso, which is located in the heart of Bavel, and the families there are Miuchasim, so too this area called Shot Meshit, which is between these two great rivers, is Liyuchsin. As far as Yuchsin is concerned, they have the status of Fumpedisa, and they are reliable. The Hecha Kaima, where exactly is it located? Omar Ab Yochanan, Meihi Dekira Uliel. It's south of a place, a city called Ihi Dekira, which is located on the banks of Nahar Pras, of the Euphrates River. So the Gemara says, "V'omar Rav Yochanan, didn't Rav Yochanan say back on Ayin Aleph that the Yichus of Bavel extends in the southern direction only until Ad Ma'abrata the Gizma, until the crossing of Gizma, and Shot Meshit is south of E Dekira, which in turn is south of Ma'avarta de Gizma." So it means that Shod Meshit, according to Rav Yochanan's own calculation of the boundaries of the southern boundaries of Bavel, would be placed outside the bounds of Bavel. Omar Abaye, Abaye answers, Ritzua Nafka, there's a strip of land that stretches outside of the bounds of Bavel, and it continues all the way down to Shod Meshit. And that strip of land is also included within the bounds of Bavel. And this Ritua begins at this Gizma crossing, and you have to make a diagonal line until Shot Meshit. But this is the southernmost point of Gizma, of Ma'avarta de Gizma, and therefore it's considered part of Eretz Yisrael, of Bavel, and the Mishpachos there are Miyuchasos. Now the Gemara speaks about places called Chilazon and Iharvod. Amar Rav Ika Bar Oven, we'll see that, soon see that Rav Ika has a little bit of a, of an agenda here. Amar Rav Chananel, Amar Rav, there's a place called Chalzon. It's on the river Chalzon. There's another place called Nihavarandund, and that's Harei Kigola, has the same status as Pumbedisal and Yinyuchsin, and therefore you can rely that the families are Miuchasas. Amalei Abaye, Lo Tatsisule, don't accept Rav Ika's testimony here, because he has a personal agenda. Why? Yivamahi Dinafule Mihasam. His brother married a woman from that area, from Chalzon, or from Naharvand, and his brother passed away without children. His sister-in-law now falls for Yibum to Rav Ika, and therefore he wants to assume that he can be Mekayim in the midst of Yibum because the Mishpachos are Miyuchasas there. It sounds at the face of it as if there was a chashash of sheker here hurled in the direction of Rav Ika to cast an aspersion on his words. But you could say it a little bit differently. It has to do with Nemonus with regard to the transmission of Torah and Horah. And we have a principle that a Talmud Chacham who's Mor Halacha L'Maisa, in a case where he's an Ogei B'Dovar, that testimony about the Halacha is unacceptable. So it's a rule in the transmission of Torah and normative, and the establishment of normative Halacha. Amalei Bar Rav Ika defends himself, and he retorts to Abaye, Atu didihi, did I say this in my name? After all, I was only quoting to Rav Chananel. Rav Chananel was not involved here in any yibum of a woman who came from that area. Azil, so they went, Shailuel or Rav Chananel, they asked Rav Chananel, what exactly is the status of that area? Amalehu Hachi Amar Rav, this is what I heard from Rav, Chalzon, Naharvind, Harehi Kigola, Liyuchsin, exactly what was quoted in his name by Rav Ika, that area had a reliable status of Chazaka, of like Pumpedisa, Bavel, and Yuchsin Ksherit, Mishpachos Ksheros. Upligid Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Rav Abba, Rabbi Abba had a different opinion. The Omer Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, my Dechsiv, the Poskim Malachim Bey says, Vayogel Sancheriv Melch Ashura Sasera Shivte Yisrael Ashura. The 10 tribes of Israel were sent into Golis in Ashur, Assyria. Vayanchem Bachlach Ubechavar Nahar Gozen Viari Modai. Rabbi Abba explains, what are these places where the 10 Shvatim went into Golis in? Chalach Zo Chalzon, the place that we've been discussing. Chavar Zo Yad Hadyav. Nahar Gozon Zo Giznak. And Ore Modai Zo Chamodon V'Chavrosel. The Amrle others say, what is Ari Madai referred to? The Havend v'chavroseha. My chavroseha, Omar Shmuel, krach muchshi chuski v'rumki. In any event, these are all areas that are being singled out as areas where the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus. And Omar Rabbi Yochanan, all these areas where the Ten Shvatim were sent into Golus, Kulam L'Sol, they're all psulim, because there were Goyim who married Jewish girls from the Aseres HaShvatim, and the children from those intermarriage relationships were psulim, and therefore, according to Rav Abba Bar Kahana, comes out that the Golus of the Ten Shvatim Chilazon establishes Chalzon as a place which is full of psulim, and the Eish Omrim add Niavand, and therefore we're left with these places as Einam Yuchasim. In any event, Shmuel, in terms of interpreting Chavruseah, he mentions a place called Mushchi. Let's go over it again. Omar Shmuel Krach Mushche. Now, Kosal Kedait Gemara at this point thinks that Mushche is the same Hainu Mushkine, the different pronunciations of the same city. Vamar Rabbi Chiya Bar Oven Omar Shmuel. Shmuel himself said that Mushkine Harehi Kegola Liyuchsin. And how could Shmuel now say that Mushkine is a place where the Aseres HaShvatim were Gola, and therefore it's full of Psulim, when he himself, Shmuel, said that as far as Yuchsin is concerned, Mushkini has the same status as Bavel, and they're all the Cheskes Ksherim. Ella says, the Gemara, Mushche L'chud U'mushkine L'chud. That area which was identified by Shmuel for the Aseres HaShvatim as Psulim is the area of Mushche, whereas Shmuel's statement about a different area with a slightly different name of Mushkine is indeed a different area, and the Jewish population of Mushkine was made up of Ksherim, of Miuchasim. Now, once we mention Chalzon, and Nihavarand, the Gemara wants to interpret a pasuk in Sefer Daniel. Daniel saw a vision of four chayos, and these beasts were each a figurative remez, a kind of a symbolic metaphor for the four malchios, the four kingships that subjugate the Jewish people. And the second of those four is viewed in the vision of Daniel as a dove, a bear. And Daniel says in Perek Zayin, Utlos ilin befuma bein shineha. And there are three ribs in the mouth between the teeth. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, befuma seems to be that it's in the mouth, whereas bein shineha seems to indicate that it's between the teeth. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to reconcile this, Rabbi Yochanan says that the three tzlos are representative, zo chalzon hadyav unitzivim, shepa'amim, during the course of the kingship of Paras, the Persian malchus, bolaton, they are swallowed into the mouth of the Persian Empire, upa'amim, polatiton, they spit forth between the teeth, meaning that these areas rebelled against the rulership of Paras, and therefore in the dove represents Paras, and we'll soon see why that beast is chosen, the bear is chosen to be the symbol of the Persian Empire. But in any event, in terms of these three areas called Chalzon, Hadyav, and Itzivan, sometimes they were under the rulership of the Persians. At other points in time, they rebelled against the Persians, and they were independent. The Gemara now explains something about the Malchus of Paras and why in the vision of Daniel it is compared to the dove. And the pasuk says, "Va'aru cheva Achari Tinyana Domya Ledov, meaning this second Chaya, representing the second Malchus, the second kingship, is similar to a dove, to a bear. Tani Rav Yosef Elu Parsim, why the Parsim equated to a bear? Sha'ochlin v'shosin kidov. A bear is almost an insatiable animal. It eats, most bears eat berries, but it depends on grizzly bears, other bears, but they eat enormous tons of food on a daily basis. And the Persians are known to eat and drink. I don't know, the shosim here, I think, might be a reference, I don't know, to alcoholic intoxicating beverages, and they got drunk. Umur sirbolim, and they become very heavy, very fat, like a bear, kidov. Umagadlim ser kidov, they're very hairy beings. The Einlam menucha kidov, they're always on the move. They make the rounds. Rabbi Ami, ki havachazi parso de rochiv, when he saw a Persian rider, Omar used to declare, hainu duba naida, that's a portable, a movable bear, you know, a bear that doesn't have any resting place, always moving from place to place. You know, they say that a bear, a grizzly bear, if it finds food in a certain place, you can take it hundreds and hundreds of miles and leave it off somewhere else, and it'll come all the way back to that place where it originally enjoyed its meat. Of course, the dove is meant to eat other things, not meat, but if heaven forbid the dove eats meat, that's it. The bear becomes addicted to meat. Amalei Rabbi Lelevi, Rebbe turns to Levi. Levi was apparently the expert at giving mishalim. Har'eini, can you give me a mashal for the Parsim, for the Persians? Amalei domim lechayolos shel beis David. They march like the soldiers, the troops in Beis David. Rebbe now asks him, Hareini Chaborin. Chaborin is a certain nation which is outside on the outside boundaries of Paras. They were a very destructive, very aggressive nation. So Levi responds, Domim Lemalache Chabola. There are different categories and groups of malachim. One of them is called the Malachi Chabola, those who are angels of destruction. Rebbe asks him, Hareini, give me a marshal for Yishmaelim. And he says, Domim, they wear black, Lisa'irim, or Ashedim, Shel Beis Hakise. These are kind of demons that dwell in the bathhouses. That's where you'll find them. They inhabit the bathhouses. And now Rebbe asks Levi, Hareini, give me a mashal for Talmidei Chachamim beBavel. And the response was, Domim lamalachim ha'shareis, these are the malachim on the highest level that serve Hashem, and they wear begadim levanim, they wear white garments. Yechezkel says at the beginning of his Nevuah and Perek Tes, V'ish lavush badim. The Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda in Shabbos Daf Chof Hei, Hoyim Esatei V'yoshev V'sdinim HaMetziyotzim V'domo L'malach Hashem Tzvokos. And there are a number of statements throughout Shas in which the Talmidei Chachamim are compared to Malchei Ashores. The Gemara tells us, Kadavi Nicha Nafshei De Rebbe, at the time that Rebbe passed away from this world, he spoke words of nevuah, of prophecy, and he foretold the future. V'yomar, and he said, Homanya Ika. There's a city by the name of Homanya Ika in Bavel. Kula Amonoihi. It's made up totally of Goyim from Ammon, from the nation of Ammon. And they came because of Gzeiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaHatzer LiYisrael. They were there as a conduit, as an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mete out punishment to the Jewish people. According to Yad Ramad, these were Gerim from Ammon that are not allowed to enter into the community of Israel, not allowed to marry into Yisrael. Then Rebbe continues, and he speaks about a city named Masgaria. Ikar b'Bavel, it's a city that Rebbe pinpointed, singled out in Bavel. Kula d'mamzerihi, it's a city made up of mamzerim. Birka Ikar b'Bavel, there's a city in Bavel called Birka. And Shnei Achim Yeshem Achlifim Nishoseim Zelazer, they swap wives, and therefore their children are mamzerim. There's another city in Bavel called Birta de Satya. And Rebbe says about them, Hayom, and I don't know if that means literally today or in the near future, Me'achsaru Me'achore Hamachon. They went off the derech and they rejected the religion of Judaism. And they became Shmadzach. All the Jews in that city became Shmadzach. They transferred their allegiance to a different religion. They converted to a different religion. And what happened? Why did they do so? The Akpe Pira Bekarve Bishabsa. On Shabbos itself, they had a place where the fish were growing, were in this gigantic body of water, and hutzaf bedogim. Hutzaf bedogim means there was a flood of fishes, an enormous abundance of fish on Shabbos. What they did was ozel etzadu v'shabsa. I guess they couldn't overcome the temptation. They weren't such frumachs, and they went out and they violated Shabbos by trapping these fish. V'shamtinu Rabbi Achai Rav Yoshia, and Rav Achai put them into nidui. And nidui can have one of two impacts. Either it could bring a person back ultimately to do tshuva, or it could have the opposite effect. In this case, vishtamud, hishtamdu, they became shmadzach, and they completely left the fold. In other words, the idea of putting someone who's chayiv nidui to nidui is, even if it seems like to the Chachamim that as a result the people or the person will go to Tzar B'Sra, nevertheless that's what we have to do. We have to put a person into Nidui. And here's this case where we see Rabbi Achai, who put these people in that area of Satya, of Birta Satya, into Nidui, and as a result ultimately they went off of Yadus. And this is codified by the Ramon Yoredeya Simon Shin Lamed Dalet. We continue with Rebbe's Nevuah at the time of his death. A place called Akra di Agma in Bavel, Ikub Bavel. And there's a man by the name of Ada Bar Ava Yeshba in that city. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Beis Omid Beis. Hayom Yoshev Becheko Shel Avram Avinu. On this day, he's going to enter into Mila. And if this is Rav Ada Bar Ava, we know about him that he had Arichas Yomim, and from the time of the death of Rebbe until many generations later, at the time of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, this Rav Ada Bar Ava still lived. I don't know how old he was, but he was ancient. And some say that the Kavana was on that day Rabbi Ada died. If that be the case, that's not Rav Ada Bar Ava that's mentioned in the Gemara. Tosus points out that there were two Rabbi Ada Bar Avas. One, which is spoken about here in our sugi, was a friend of Rav and Shmuel. There was another one by the same name, Rav Ada Bar Ava. He was a Talmud of Rava, and he was born on the day that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi passed away. And he was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Not a Chaver of Rav and Shmuel, but a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Rebbe concludes by saying, Hayom Nolad Rabbi Yehuda b'Bavel. And the great Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora Rabbi Yehuda in Bavel, was born on the day of Rebbe's death. And we find something very similar. Diomar Mar, Kishames Rabbi Akiva Nolad Rebbe. The divine providence has it that on the very death, the day of the death of a great giant, a new giant is born to replace him. So Rebbe will take the place of Rabbi Akiva. Kishemes Rebbe, Nolad Rabbi Yehuda. On the day of Rebbe's death, Rabbi Yehuda, the great Amora, was born. Kishemes Rabbi Yehuda, Nolad Rava. When Rabbi Yehuda died, Rava was born. Kishemes Rava, Nolad Ravashi. Ravashi was of the last of the Amoraim. And the Rambam in his Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnayis has a slightly different girsa, Ad Shalomeis Rava Nolad Rav Ashi. It sounds like Rav Ashi was born before the death of Rava. Here it indicates in our girsa that Rav Ashi was born on the very day of the death of Rava. Well, Amedcha, all this teaches us, She'ein Tzadik Niftam and Olam Achenivra Tzadik Kamoso. Hashem will not let a tzaddik pass in this world until he guarantees that another tzaddik will substitute and replace him, fill his shoes, so to speak. Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'zorach HaShemesh U'ba HaShemesh. It means before the Shemesh, before the sun sets, which is a symbolic representative of the death of a tzaddik, is Zorachas HaShemesh. There's already a daylight, a daybreak of the rising of the sun of a new tzaddik who will take the place of the one who is passing on. Ad shelo kovsa shimsho shel Eli zarcha shimsho shel Shmuel bar Amasi. Before the death of Eli HaKohen, Shmuel bar Amasi, who came from a city called Ramah, he was born shenemar. The pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Per Gimel, Vayhi Bayomahu, Vieli, Shochev Bimkomo, Vener Elokim, Terem Yichbe, Ushmuel, Shochev Behechal Hashem, Asher Sham, Aron Elokim. The Gemara explains the pasuk in Eicha, Tziva Hashem Li Yaakov, Svivav Tzorov. Rabbi Yehuda says that the intention of this pasuk is that Hashem was mitzava for Amon v'Moav, who are surrounding Eretz Yisrael and pressuring the Jewish people, causing such anguish more than the other nations of the world. That in Golus, Yaduru Svivosam v'Yatzru b'hem, not only will Amon v'Moav persecute the Jewish people when they're living in the land, but even when they go into the diaspora, they'll be surrounded and persecuted by these nations. Kigon Homanya, which we mentioned earlier, is the city where the Ammonim live. Shalokham Imo Sancheru Lebavel. And they were taken, Sancheru took them to Bavel, this tribe of Ammon, and they surrounded Lefum Nara, a place where the Jewish people had settled in Bavel called Pumnara. And these Ammonim continued to persecute the Jewish people. Now keep in mind, if you go back to Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, you will see that the first Nevuah of Rebbe is about a city called Homanya, about which he said, Kulu Ammonoi, it's made up of citizens, of residents that are all Ammonim, and they persecute the Jewish people. So the story of the hatred, the anti-Semitism of Amon u'Moav is an old one, an ancient one, that really continues into different historical periods and different geographic locations. Now there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, and the Gemara is going to now quote a machlokes, a controversy, how to interpret the nevuah of Yechezkel. Yechezkel prophesies, Vayehi kihi novi, Uflatio ben Binayo Mes. We're talking about Flatyohu, the son of Binayo, who died Bechatzi Yomov. You know, it's prematurely. Okay, we have a girsa Binayo ben Binayo, excuse me, ben Binayo, not Binayo, whatever the girsa is, Va'epol Alponai Va'ezak Kol Gadol V'Yomer Aha Adonai Hashem. And Rav and Shmuel have machlokes about this za'aka, where it says Va'ezak Kol Gadol Chad Omer. One of the two opinions was Litova. What does it mean, Litova? V'Chad Omer L'ra, and one says L'ra. Let's take the second opinion first, and we'll go backwards. The one who said that, whether it's Rav Shmuel L'ra'a, means Yechezkel was crying, was zoek. It was so terrible in his eyes that Flatio died. And Flatio died a natural kind of easy death. And this bothered Yechezkel to no end because Flatyahu is a Rasha. Whereas, according to the other opinion, whether it's Rav Shmuel or Tova, Yechezkel was, even though he was in a state of anguish, of tzar and ke'ev, but the Zok Isel Tova, because according to this opinion, Flatyahu was Noeg B'tzidkus. He was not the Rasha, but he was the Tzaddik. The Gemara is now going to analyze this machlokas. Mandi Omar, according to the opinion Litova, it means that Flatyahu was Noeg B'tzidkus, and therefore Yechezkel cried out at his death, Ki ha, de istandira, de meshan, chasne din ruchanetzar hava. We find that the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, Russia, was the ruler over Meshan. Sholachle, and the Flatya, the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, sent a message to his father-in-law, Mikule hai shivya di aisiloch, from all those captives that I brought for you, lo shadartlan de koyle kamon, you did not split the spoils with me and send me over at least some segment of avodim that they would serve me. Boyle shadurile, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to send it to him, mi Yisrael, amongst the captives of Israel, that they should serve as avodim. Amale Flatya ben Benayo, so he responded with a message to his father-in-law, Nebuchadnezzar, Anand Hashminan, Neku Mikamach Hacha. We are the Cheshuvim that are left here in front of you, the Avdin. So let's review a little bit of the background here of this case. We know that there's an area called Meshan. And that area was not good for Jewish yichus. Now, the person, the ruler of Meshan, was the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. And he, the son-in-law, was requesting from his father-in-law to send some avodim over that would be captured in battle. Because he was a little bit peeved and upset that he had not he was part of the battle of Nebuchadnezzar, and they had conquered so many captives, and he didn't get a chelek in he didn't get his share of the booty. So Nebuchadnezzar wanted to send to his son-in-law in Meshan Mishvuye Yisrael, that they should be servants of his. Now, it seems like Flatyahu ben Benayahu or ben Benoya was somehow amongst the Cheshuvim in the area of Nebuchadnezzar, and he sent to Nebuchadnezzar the following message. He says, Ananda Chashvinon Neku Mikamach Hacha. You have left us, Chashuvim, a group of outstanding individuals, you've left here, the Avdin, and the servants that were captured here with us are not such Chashuvim. Is Nezlu Lahasam? You know, why send the Chashuvim over there to your son-in-law? Send those who are Enom Chashuvim, the lower echelon. And what happened is that there were Avodim who served Jews, and then they were the Jews themselves. So who would be sent to Meshan by Nebuchadnezzar to his son-in-law, to the ruler of Meshan, as avodim. And here's where Platya wanted to intercede. And instead of sending the Jews to serve as avodim, to send the avodim of the Jews to serve Meshad, the leader of Meshad. And Nebuchadnezzar accepted the words of Flatyahu, and he sent to Meshad, not the Israelim, the Jews themselves, but rather the Avde Yisrael. And this is why Yechezkel cried out at the death of the premature death of Platyahu, because Misha Asa Tova Bi Yisrael Yomus Bechatzi Yomov, since it was the intercession of Platyahu that staved off this gzera in which Bnei Yisrael would be sent into Golus to become Avodim to Avodim, is he should die Bechatzi Yomov. That's the first man the Yomer in the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whichever it is, Litova, that Yechezkel was pained by the fact that Platyahu did something great, was cut down in Chatzi Doma Yomav, he died prematurely. Man di Omar Lera, according to the other opinion, that this Platyahu was guilty of Rishus Dichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Vatisosi Ruach Vatoveosi El Shar Beis Hashem Akadmoni Apone Kadima. Kadima always means towards the east. Ve'ide v'pesach hashar esrim v'chamisha ish v'era b'socha es ya'azanya ben azur v'es flatyo ben b'nayo sorei ha'am. In other words, the individual called flatyo is included amongst these 25 men. Uksiv, and the pasuk says v'yove osi el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis, which means he was taken into the Azara, and there what did he see? V'hinei pesach heichal Hashem bein ulam bein ha'ulam ubein ha'mizbeach ke'esir v'chamisha ish. He sees 25 men achoreim el heichal Hashem, their backs are turned towards the heichal upneim kedma, and the faces are looking forward. And this is what's called v'hitrizu klape maila. Again, we're not going to go into detail here to describe what they did. The Gemara says, mi mashma shenemru pneim kedma, eni odesh achoreim klape ahechal, which is mairov, matad loman achoreim al ahechal Hashem alami shayu mafriim atzmam umatrizim atzmam klape maila. I mean, this is the greatest act of bizayon that's imaginable. Matrizin klape mala, that they defecated in the direction of the heichal. Uka Omar and Yechezkel and Novi cried out, Mi sha'asa ra'a zos b'Yisrael yomos al mitoso. How is it possible that someone who did such a terrible evil will die in his bed like natural death? Such a Rasha deserves to be punished in a more harsh kind of death. The Gemara says, Tistayim Dishmuel Diyama Lera, the second opinion here, Lera, is the opinion of Shmuel, that Shmuel was not the one who understood that Flatyahu was the one who sent to Nebuchadnezzar that the Avodim of Yisrael should be sent, but not the Yisraelim themselves. The Omer Abchiyo Bar Ovenam of Shmuel, Mushkene Harehi Kigola Liyuchsin, it means that Mushkene has the status of Pumpedisa and the Mishpachos HaMiuchasos, but the city of Meshan, Lo Chashule. What does it mean? Meshan lo choshule, lo mishum avdus, lo mishum amzerus, elekonim shahayubo lo ekpidu al agrushos. In other words, the city of Meshan is full of chalolim, who are psulim lakuna, because the Kohanim married grushos there. Shmuel is not worried about avdus. It means he holds that the Yisraelim were not. Was not sent to Meshan at the time of Nebuchadnezzar was not the Avdi Yisrael. In other words, that it wasn't Avadim. In other words, according to this opinion, it wasn't that Tuvia was able to intercede so that it was Avadim that was sent to Meshan. If that be the case, it would be a city of Psulim, but rather it was the Yisraelim themselves who were sent. And that's called Lera. So Flatyo was not this great pious person who was able to stave off this gzera of Yisraelim being sent as Avodim. And indeed, the ruler of Meshan received the Yisraelim as servants. The Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Li'olam emelecha Shmuel amr l'tova. It could very well possibly be that Shmuel would raise Platyo to the level of a tzaddik, and a ma'aseh tzidkus at least. And it wasn't the Yisraelim who was sent to Meshan, but rather it was the Avodim. Shmuel says that in Meshan we don't have to worry about Avdus. That statement doesn't mean, it's not the intention of Shmuel to say that there weren't Avodim in Meshan, but rather Letaime, Tiomar Mafkir Avdo Yotzel Lecherus Veino Tzorech Get Shichur, the famous sheet of Shmuel in Masechet Gittin, that if a person gives up his ownership, he's Mafkir, his Eved, the Eved is going Lecherus, he doesn't need to get Shichur, Shenemar. With regard to Achilas Korban Pesach in Parshas Bo, it says, Kol Eved Ish Miknas Kesef Umalto So Oz Yochal Bo. What does it mean? Eved Ish. Eved Ish Velo Eved Isha. Don't interpret it as if the Pasuk Eved Ish means the Eved of a male is called an Eved, but the Eved of a female, if a female possesses an Eved, is not called an Eved of an Isha is no less of an Eved than Eved of an Ish. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says Eved Ish? Ella, Eved Sheyeshlo Rishus Lerabo Olov, Kori Eved. An Eved has the status of an Eved only if and when there's a Shibud L'Malacha, means the master has Rishus to be Meshabi the Eved, he has a Kinyan Momon. But Eved she'ein l'rabo b'shus olav, if there's no shibud mama, no shibud l'mlocha, because the master was mafkirid, ein kori Eved. He's meshuchrar, he has a din of Yisrael, like an Eved meshuchrar. And the avadim that were brought to Meshan, that was stolen from the Yisraelim by Nebuchadnezzar, there was Yeish Bailim, there was a Hefker, their status is that of Yisrael, and therefore Shmuel didn't have to worry about the Avdus. So in this case, we're saying Litova, which means that the Yisraelim that were sent there were Avadim, meaning he successfully convinced Platyo, successfully bore and convinced Nebuchadnezzar not to send Yisraelim, but to send Goyim as Avadim. These were Avodim of Bnei Yisrael. Why is Shmuel not worried about Yichus of Avodim there? Is because since the Avodim of Yisrael were seized, were taken and occupied, possessed by Nebuchadnezzar and sent to Meshan, therefore it's a din of Mafkir Avdo Yatzel Echeris. And therefore the status of these Avodim is the same as that of Gerim. They were full-fledged Jews, and therefore there's no psul of Eved that's mixed in, because the very moment they were sent, it was as if they had a Get Shichur. And therefore Shmuel would interpret the Tza'aka of Yechezkel's Litova, that Flatyo did a Maisat Tzidkus, and who was sent to Meshan, it was not the Yisraelim themselves, but rather Avodim. The Gemara now embarks upon a study to clarify the status of Shara Rotzos as far as Yuchsin is concerned. We've been focusing in our Mishnah on the Psulim in Bavel that were isolated and identified by Ezra. Ezra took them up to Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara said before that Olu mi Bavel, the Mishnah says Olu mi Bavel, to teach us that Ezra cleaned out Bavel and transformed it into Solas Nikia. There were no psulim there. But in other nations, in other countries on the face of the globe, there was an admixture of psulim, and we have to check them out and investigate the Yichus Omer Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel. Zo divrei Rabbi Meir v'chachom omrim shekol harotzos b'chezkas kashus heimomdos. Shmuel said that we pass like the Chacham against Rabbi Meir, and all the nations of the world are considered Bechezkas Kashrus. And there's no need for a Bedika. The Gemara says that Amema Sharile Liravhuna Barnasal Leminsav Isisa Mimachozayasa, that Ravhuna permitted Amemar permitted Rav Huna to marry a girl from Mechozayasa, even though that's outside of the bounds of Bavel and has the status of Shara Rotzos. Amalei Rav Ashi said to Amemar, my daitcha, what is your logic? It must be the Omar Rav Yudam or Shmuel Zudev Rav Yimei V'chachomim Mikol HaRotz V'chezkes Kashrus Ein Omdos. You rely on the Chachomim of Rav Yimei, the way it's quoted, the way this opinion is quoted by Shmuel, and all the nations of the world have a Chezkas Kashrus. V'ha Bei Rav Kahana Lo Masni Hachi. In the Beis Medrash of Kahana, they had a different version of what Shmuel transmitted. Ubei Rav Papa Lo Masni Hachi. Ubei Rav Zvid Lo Masni Hachi. All these great Amoraim had a different Girsa. And that's the Girsa of Rabbi Yehuda back on Daf Ayin Aleph in the name of Shmuel, that all the Arotzos are considered Isol Eretz Yisrael. That means there's Tarobes, there's a dough, a mixture of Psulim, and they're not Miuchasos. And the Gemara says, Afilu Hachi lo Kibla Minei, Rav Ashi did not accept the opinion of all these Amoraim. He had his transmission, his understanding of Shmuel, according to which the people of the nation, the Jews of the nations of the world, were b'cheskas ksherim, and you don't have to be chosh for psulim. Mishum deshmiyalei mi Rav Zvid de Narda. He heard it from Rav Zvid that Shmuel attributed our Mishnah, the authorship of our Mishnah, to Rabbi Meir, but the Chacham are of the opinion that in Shar Arotzos, the Jews are miuchasos. What's going to happen with the Mamzerim, the Nesinim, Liyosid Lavo, Tarabonon, Mamzere, Unesine, Tahorim, Liyosid Lavo? There will be a heter which will allow them to marry into the Jewish people. And the Ramban and others ask the Kasha, how could it be that this statement of Asidim Litoer is attributed to Rabbi Yossi, and that Mamzer will become Tahorim Lasid Lavo? What about the Lav of Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem? How is it possible to vitiate, to undermine this Lav? And the answer is that this is going to be a Horas Shah. That Mamzerim Sheyu Bidoros Shekodim Biyasaliyo Yu Mutarim Enochinami Mamzerus, after the door of Eliyahu Novi would still be Mamzerim, and the Lav will apply, but there was a special heter on Mamzerim from generations before Bias Eliyahu. In any event, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Ein Tahorim. There will not be Tahara of Mamzerim Liyosid Lavo, and according to the Ramban and others, the machlokis here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi revolves around Mamzerin Vadoim Yeduim. In other words, those that we know that are Mamzerin, that never got mixed up and lost within families. Mamzerin that got lost within families, are Tahorim, and there's no one who's going to testify on the Psulam, the Mishpacha Shenitma, Nitma, as we learned before on Daf Ayin Aleph. So this machlokas here that we see between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir revolves around Mamzerim Yiduim, those who are Vadoim. Other Rishonim, the Rosh, the Ran, are of the opinion, Pungfaket, that this machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi revolves around the case of Mamzerim Shenis Arvu, that Enom Yiduim. And the question is whether we could be Matar, the Mamzerim Yiduim, everybody agrees are Asurim Liosid Lovo. So again, according to Ramban, Viseoso, the Machlokas here is about Mamzerim Vadoim. According to the Rosh and the Ran, Mamzerim Yiduim, everybody agrees are Asidim Lovo. And the issue, let's go through these two shitas again, the Ramban on the one end, the Rosh and the Ran on the other. According to the Ramban shita, the Plukta here is about Mamzerim Shenitmu. No, excuse me. The Plukta here again is about Mamzerim Vadoim, but Mamzerim Shenitmu, everyone agrees, is Mishpacha Shenitma Nitma. And according to Tosis, Harosh, and the Ran, Punkvakert, the Machlokes is about a Mamzerim Shenis Arvu, and whether we accept the principle of Nitmu Nitmu. In the case of Mamzerim Yiduim, everyone agrees that there'll be Asurim Liyasid Lava, the Lav of Loyovo Bikal. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi turns to Rabbi Meir and he says, Valokvar Nemar, the Pasuk says, regarding the ultimate Geula, the redemption, Liyasid Lava, Zarakti Alehem, Alechem, Mayim Tahorim Utahartem. And it implies that all the Psulim will be Tahorim. Again, whether we're talking about Vadai Psulim or Sufik Psulim, the machlokas that we mentioned before between the Ramban and the Rosh. Mikol tu amalo Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir responds to Rabbi Yossi. Kishu Omer, since he says in the next part of the pasuk, Mikol tu ma'osechem, we mikol gilulechem, this is coming to teach us that Tumas Haguf or Tumas Avodah Zorah will become purified, will be free of that kind of contamination, Volomina Mamzerus, but they'll still be Mamzerus. Amalo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi responds, Kevon, Shu Omer Atayr Eschem, Havi Omer Af Mina Mamzerus. Even if I accept what you say, Mikol to Mosech, but the Pasuk adds, the Pasuk Yecheskel adds, Atayr Eschem, an extra Tara, and that's a reference, an allusion to Taras Mamzerus. The Gemara says, Bishlema le Rabbi Meir, who says that Mamzer will not be Torah Lassid, love O Hainu Dixiv. That's what the Pasuk means when it says regarding the ultimate Gula, and Zechariah Novi says, V'yoshav Mamzer V'yashdod, that will be able to separate the Mamzerim, and they'll sit in a separate area called Ashdod. Elo le Rabbi Yossi, who says that I see the Mamzerim li toer, is my Vyoshav Mamzer Bashdod, there are no Mamzerim. And the Gemara answers that according to Rabbi Yossi, the word Mamzer is not to be interpreted kipshuta in this Pasuk Vyoshav Mamzer, but rather kimitargem Rabbi Yosef, according to the Targum of Rabbi Yosef. And that is Yesvun Beis Yisrael LeRochatzon Biar Ehon, which means in Lashon Kodesh Yeshvu Bnei Yisrael Beis Yisrael LeVetach Biartzom. And what is the word? So we're talking about Klal Yisrael sitting in security in their land. And what does the word Mamzer mean? Dahavadomu Bei Linuchroin. What does this mean? In the Hebrew translation, Shahoyu minukarim me'artzom v'nitrodim imenu kimamzer, meaning that Am Yisrael were alienated from their lands, but liosid lovo, they will come back and reclaim the land, l'sheves l'vetach, to sit there in security, even in a place called Ashdod, that's also part of Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole discussion in Rashi about Ashdod, which Yoshua divided into different parts. But be that as it may, the word Mamzer is called an alien, And what the Navi is saying of the Yashav Mamzer, the return of the Mamzer, means he was alienated by being sent into Golus, but now Am Yisrael are going to come back to their land to sit v'levetach, and even Ashdod will be part of Eretz Yisrael. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul Halachik Rabbi Yossi, we accept the halacha, the opinion, the formulation of Rabbi Yossi. His principle is that Mamzerim Asidim Lios Tahorim. Omar Rabbi Yosef Ilav the Omar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul Halachik Rabbi Yossi Avi Osi Elio Umafik Minan Tzavrone Kolorim. If not for the statement of Shmuel that we pass like Rabbi Yossi, then Elio would be coming, Liosid Lovo, he would take from amongst us groups and groups of Mamzerus, of Mamzerim that were mixed up in Klal Yisrael. Tzavrone min Chaburos, Rashi says. And the Gemara is now dramatizing the severity and the widespread nature of the problem of the integration of Mamzerim into the blood, into the Yuchsin, the genealogy of Klal Yisrael. And if not for this psak like Rabbi Yosef, then Elio would have a major task in front of him. Now, way back when, we had a discussion about a ger, whether a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres, machlokas tanoim, ton rabbonon. The Braisa says, ger nose mamzeres divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi permits a ger to marry a mamzeres, because the Torah says, lo yovo mamzer bekal Hashem, kar gerim enom kriyim ger, ena kriya kol, excuse me. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ger lo yisa mamzeres, he's of the opinion that kal gerim nikra kohol, and therefore there are surim v'mamzer. The Tosefta completes the presentation by saying, Echad ger, the echad eved mishuchrar v'cholav mutarim bikohenes. That an eved mishuchrar, a cholal, these are all people that don't have the status of ksherim, and they are allowed to marry a bas kohen. In other words, even though a kohen is not allowed to marry giores, but a kohenes is allowed to marry a ger, or even a cholal. Notice the kedushas kohuna that generates Isurei Psulei Kuna, that applies to the male Kohanim, but not to the female branch of the family, and this is going to be a sugya later on in Daf Ayin Gimel. The Gemara now goes back to Rabbi Yossi, who's Matir Ger to marry a Mamzeres. My time with Rabbi Yossi, Chamishi Koholak Sivet, five times there are Lashonos of Kohol in the Torah, with regard to Psulei Yuchsin. And Varenita and Hoyalichol is kol psuya yuchsiba zora achas bloshin kol echod. Why did the Torah feel compelled to repeat kol five times, time after time? It would have been sufficient to say kol once, but rather to dash in the psukim. And here we're on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, chad lekohanim, chad lelevim, chad liyisraelim, v'chad lemishrei mamzer b'shtuki, v'chad lemishrei shtuki be Israel, and all this is based on the principle of Kal Gerim Lo Ikri Kol. This is the Shita Rabbi Yossi. We'll review this in Mirtz Shem in the next year. We'll also pick up the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda to try to understand why Rabbi Yehuda rejected the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and rather his opinion was Ger lo yisa mamzeres, a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres, and Mirtz Hashem in our next limud.